Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
Thanks to our friends at U Stadium for supporting this podcast. Download U Stadium and talk to all kinds of sports fans, win great prizes, and take part in amazing events. You can also subscribe to the U Stadium YouTube page for exclusive shows like Time Out with U Stadium, The Sports Desk, Play Like a Jet, and many more. That's ustadium.com.
It's time to BS.
Did you know that Rob Van Dam's wife is a porn star?
I don't know that. How did I miss this? And what's her name?
A U Stadium podcast.
Wait, what?
Wait, what? Repeat that to me? Did you just ruin bacon, egg, and cheese?
No, I did not. I did not.
Repeat the sandwich you told us for me, please. Have you actually ever ate this?
Yes, I did. It's really good. Yes, I did. It's really good.
That's disgusting.
It's not. It's really good, actually.
It's time to BS.
Sup, Kenny?
What's going on, man? That's how you do an intro now?
Well, actually, we do the intros like these. A movie called 100 Years was filmed in 2015, but won't be released until 2115.
I heard about that, actually.
I was like, what the hell?
I read an article about that last year, actually.
I was like, what the hell? Can't be right.
No, it's a very interesting concept, though.
It is.
Yeah, like a movie that was made in 2015 is going to be released 100 years later. That's very interesting.
About that. Coming to you from the beaches of Long Island, New York, it is Time to BS. And Kenny the Sports Guy podcast joins me here. John is doing God knows what right now, so there's that. But Kenny, welcome. How are you doing after your weekend trip in Dallas for a shit ton of wrestling?
Yeah, it was actually a week, actually, but I'm doing okay. I'm trying to get back into the normal things here in New York City. It's been working on the podcast. I have literally a shitload of episodes to edit, write, produce. I already completed two. They're already out now already. So I did my WrestleMania review, and I did the Control Your Narrative review.
Nice.
Which I released yesterday. So if you haven't heard that, just go to kendisportsguy.com.
There you go.
It should be up there already.
There you go. You are very critical of WWE for the last 2 years.
Yep.
And you were there live, of course, for the both two-night shit-tacular, I like to call it, of WrestleMania. I mean, night one was pretty good up until the main event of night one, being Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown Women's title. And night two was... We don't talk about that much. But
no,
we
don't talk about either one, though, but...
Oh, God. This is what I mean, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny is very uber-critical of wrestling, and I don't blame him because I can make an argument.
And they say I don't criticize AEW, but they just do things right.
Yeah, they do things right. I mean, you are as hardcore of a wrestling fan as I know. Someone who loves sports entertainment to the core. I mean, you went to see a New Japan of America show down in Dallas, for God's sakes.
Actually, I highly encourage you to go because it's actually very, very fun. Whenever you're in like Dallas or New York City, I mean, it's a really, really good wrestling promotion.
I want to see Create a Pro Wrestling because friends of the show, AEW's Bear Country, they're originally from there.
Create a
Pro Wrestling. Yeah, friends of the show, Bear Country. So, eventually I want to go see them. But yeah, I mean, good God, this WrestleMania card was awful. But the weekend itself didn't entirely suck. I mean...
No, it was fun. it was fun.
No, there were some good moments. There were some moments where you wanted to be like, this is terrible. But did you see? We'll get to WrestleMania in a second. Did you see Supercard of Honor at all? While you were there?
Not live. I really wanted to go, but I had another wrestling event there. I really regret actually going to that.
Because of Samoa Joe debuting.
Pay-per-view event. I really wanted to go to Supercard of Honor. I really wanted to go, but it just didn't work out. I did stream it, though.
Oh, yeah. But the headline of the Hall of WrestleMania weekend was, of course, the Hall of Fame and Undertaker's inductment. Or inducted Duckman into the Hall of Fame. And there wasn't a dry eye in attendance. I mean, you could clearly tell he was... If that doesn't beat, you know, Ric Flair's retirement match, I don't know what does. Because we all remember WrestleMania 25, where Shawn Michaels did inevitably end Ric Flair's WWE career, not his full-on wrestling career, because Ric Flair did inevitably go to TNA, regardless.
But we don't talk about that.
Though. We don't talk about that because Ric Flair is WWE and WCW and NWA, and we get the point. But, holy shit, I watched the Hall of Fame ceremony specifically for the Undertaker's induction ceremony. I will not be, judgmental to say that I will eventually get the Undertaker logo as a tattoo. I don't know where exactly, but I will figure it out. But, holy
shit. That was one of the good things that WWE done right that weekend, actually.
Yeah, that was one of the very few things they did right that weekend. Yeah,
they gave him over an hour of, you know, his speech, and it was absolutely incredible.
Why couldn't you give him an hour? He is arguably the best superstar they've ever had.
Yeah, the best creative superstar they ever had.
30 years in one company, 32 years of a pro wrestling career, if you include 2 years in WCW, but we don't talk about that. but, I mean... There are two guys that I wish to talk to in my time of life, specifically for wrestling stories. One of them is Mick Foley. Mm-hmm. The other one is The Undertaker. And he was telling story after story, and I did not know this man was funny.
He's actually coming out with a podcast pretty soon.
Really? I should check that out.
Yeah.
What you call Dead Man Talk? Or whatever.
No, they haven't announced the name yet, but he is coming out with a podcast.
Good for him.
Within the next few months, I think.
Good for him. I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes a full-blown hit.
Yeah, it will, because there's going to be a lot of wrestling stories that he's going to share. Yeah, I'm going to look forward to that.
Just hear the stories and shit. That'd just be great. That'd be fantastic to hear about. But yeah, I mean... There just wasn't a dry eye in the attendance. Everyone was just do yourself a favor, ladies and gentlemen. Just watch the Hall of Fame ceremony for the first 10 or 15 minutes. And you will hear the crowd in American Airlines Arena, in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And you just listen to the crowd. Just listen to the crowd and you will cry your dick off. Respectfully, of course.
It was a beautiful moment.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Well deserved.
Speaking of wrestling and popular things that happened, we saw two debuts in AEW over the last couple weeks. Samoa Joe, and then our favorite porn star, Toni Storm. Samoa Joe and Toni Storm both debuted at AEW over the last couple weeks, and that was really cool, actually, to see Toni Storm, because, good God, the women's division is stacked.
Well, you can't say that to a WWE person, because they would say, oh, no, it's not stacked, they're being underutilized.
Well, like, what?
Knowing that the entire WWE division consists of five women. That's only
thank you.
55 women.
Thank you.
So you got obviously Charlotte Flair. She's not gonna go anywhere.
Not Sasha yet.
Bates. Now Bianca Belair. They're gonna force her down on Joe.
And don't forget Asuka and Alexa Bliss are still on there. Don't forget them. We haven't seen Asuka since WrestleMania 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's only five though.
So that's true. It's
Flair, Lynch, Bianca Belair. Who else?
Ronda now.
And Ronda too. So that's the five pillars of women's wrestling.
I feel bad for Rhea Ripley. She's a bona fide champion.
Well, she's going to go into a program with Edge, with that stable.
That'd be cool.
I don't know. I don't know about that stable. Like, did you see Raw last night?
That'd be really cool.
They ended the Damian Priest versus AJ Styles match like prematurely. Like, for some strange reason, like, that match ended and freaking Priest turned into like a vampire, which I don't know what was that about.
I don't know. But can we talk about main event of night one real quick? What in the ever loving Kentucky Fried fuck was that? What in the literal fuck was that? I mean, if the ref was not knocked unconscious, Charlotte loses the title and Ronda's the new champion. Because you can clearly see Charlotte's tapping. You can clearly see that with a straight eye.
So if you were in the crowd that night, a lot of people literally left.
Yeah, because they were pissed.
Yeah, they were pissed. But this wasn't the main event, actually. So we call it like a bathroom break. Look, both women gave their heart out. Like, Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair, like, wrestled their
Technically, heart. It wasn't the main event if you were to look at the actual card. Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and Kevin Owens was the main event.
Yeah, please do not get me started on that match, because that match was... Oh.
A disaster.
Yes, it was a disaster. Like,
I love Stone Cold, but come on now.
He left at the most perfect time. A loss against The Rock. I do not know why he wrestled in that match.
Well, let's get back to Charlotte. I mean, it's you'll have plenty of time to rage, my friend. You'll have plenty of time to rage. You'll have plenty of time to rage because you have been wanting to get your thoughts on... I've been wanting to hear your thoughts on WrestleMania weekend for the last 2 weeks. Okay. So, I mean, Charlotte and Ronda. Where do I begin? It was an overhyped match, for starters. It wasn't a great match by any stretch. I mean, you could argue it was, but Ronda's moveset is really not that great. She was born to be a fighter, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And has every right to be, you know, in WWE for her career as a whole has been pretty successful the last 4 years of WWE. She's got it. I'm not going to say she doesn't, but she's got it. She's got the stuff. Am I the only one that says I'm getting tired of the whole Charlotte Flair thing for the last 3 or 4 years?
I've been saying it since like the moment she debuted on Raw and SmackDown. I've been calling for that. Like, just because your last name is Flair doesn't mean you get deserve all the opportunities.
Well, here's what annoys me. She doesn't have the kind of, you know, she clearly wants to be a heel. She loves the heel personality, and I don't blame her. But after a point, just look at her title reigns. She's a 14-time women's champion. That is all you need to know about Charlotte Flair. 14-time women's champion. I don't care who you are. You'd have to be pushed unbelievably. She is the John Cena of women's champions. To quote CM Punk, look, guys, John Cena wants another title shot. What a surprise. That's literally Charlotte Flair. And I understand the frustration of women like Rhea Ripley, who is a menace Like, she will, like, I would not want to get into a fight with Rhea Ripley. I mean that respectfully. I do not want to get into a fight with Rhea Ripley at all. Thank you. I mean, who wouldn't?
She's still young, by the way. She's, like, only 24.
She's, like, 24.
Yeah, and she has a long career ahead of her, but for her, I feel like she's being underutilized.
Yeah, she is. Absolutely. I don't get it. I don't think I'll ever understand it, but then again, what do I know? Not a whole lot. So, personally, my favorite match of night one happens to be the Mysterios versus The Miz and Logan Paul. I can't even laugh. I can't even, like, not laugh at this point. But I'm going to start this off with WWE, sign Logan Paul. For the love of God, sign him. And I knew that would piss you off, but I'm going to quote Jim Cornette, the great Jim Cornette, and say, if AEW were to sign Logan Paul, he'd be in the top half of the roster. He's that good.
No, thank God.
Piss you off. Loved it. I personally loved it. I thought, okay, this match is either going to be dog shit terrible or really good. I was partially right.
Well, here's my thoughts on it. I think the match was decent. I think the Miz carried the entire match along with the Mysterios. But Logan Paul was not better at wrestling than Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny actually...
No, absolutely not.
Last year, he did pretty decent. He does have some moves. The crowd really hated him. If you attended there live, like, they were booing the living hell out of him. So, to me, it just feels like he was okay. He has some movesets, but eventually he's going to, you know, train for it and he's going to get better. But he will make a good heel in WWE.
He absolutely would.
But his wrestling abilities leaves to be less desired. But, I mean, they're probably going to invite him again either next year for a Rumble or next year's WrestleMania. He might fight The Miz next year.
He is a better...
In Hollywood.
He's a better pro wrestler than he is a boxer. Let's be clear with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not even close. So, next up, probably... Maybe the best match, like the best match all around. Bianca Belair wins the Raw Women's title over Lady Gaga in a hell of a match.
No, it was great.
You cannot look at Becky Lynch and say, oh, she's redheaded Lady Gaga. Look at her outfit!
Yeah, she looks like Lady Gaga to me, but overall, that was a great match. I think that was the best match of WrestleMania. I think Belair deserves it. I mean, she got
robbed of the title at SummerSlam. She got robbed. SummerSlam,
so they like to call that long-term storytelling. So I'm glad she won. It was a really, really good match. And let's see what Bianca Belair does with the title reign. The next person she's going to fight is Sonya Deville.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's a fresh matchup. Like, I've never seen this matchup before. At least it's not Becky Lynch.
Thank God, honestly. But it was a really good match. It was physical. It was aggressive, and you really see, you know, the aggressive nature of Becky Lynch come out again, which we haven't seen in a very long time. It was awesome, where she was the man and she had a broken nose. That was awesome. That is a top five picture in wrestling history. Just Becky Lynch go, "What's up, mofos?" with a broken nose, just bleeding all over the place. It was awesome. That was awesome.
You can thank Nia Jax for that.
Thanks, Nia. The one good thing you did. I'm just kidding. She's awesome.
Yeah. She was actually at WrestleCon and in Dallas.
She's very nice, I hear. She's very sweet.
She's a nice person. She's a really nice person.
She's got the Samoan love, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, she does. I wouldn't mess with her, but...
No, I don't believe it.
She's a friendly person.
The women's tag team title match was... Eh.
It was very disappointing, actually.
But holy hell, the outfits of Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley. 69 Whiskey Podcast.
It felt like something out of Elden Ring, too.
No, 69 Whiskey Podcast, if you lads are listening, you would love those two outfits.
Jesus. No, man. Those outfits were atrocious, but it works out for them. But.
What? Speak yourself.
I mean, it looked nice, but it wasn't worse. It wasn't as bad as Becky's.
You do realize that if that was the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression Era, that would single-handedly be the greatest outfit in the history of wrestling.
Yeah, yep. Back then, but we're not in the 90s no more.
Oh, it's a damn shame.
Really miss the 90s, actually. Really, really do.
2007 was the last good year of wrestling in terms of WWE.
Ooh.
Like, the second The Undertaker wins the Royal Rumble and the World Heavyweight title against Batista at WrestleMania 23, you really start to see go downhill because every other title match was John Cena.
That's actually a really interesting take. I think the last... Damn, what was the last good year of wrestling?
Because you think about TNA was starting to get on. I think I'm going to
have to agree with you, though. 2007. That was the year with
the 07 Rumble was probably the best Rumble I've ever seen, and I've watched.
For me, it's 1999.
Oh yeah, I don't blame
that, that was the most stupidest but fun Rumble I've ever seen. The one where Vince McMahon won it.
But if you want to talk about like, the best Rumbles, I mean, just the final four: Rated RKO, Shawn Michaels. I remember Shawn Michaels getting out from under the ring, knocking Randy Orton out, and then sweet chin music. Edge in the face. I just remember Michael Cole just screaming, "We're down to two, man." It's like, oh, it's on. Just the, and then Undertaker appearing at number 30 to knock out the Great Khali was like, oh, it's fucking on. Let's go. I was so pumped. But speaking of old timey stars, sorry about that. Continue.
No. You can continue.
Speaking of old timey stars. There was a hidden return that happened that was probably the worst kept secret in the history of wrestling.
Oh, so we gotta talk about him now.
So, I thought it would be Bray Wyatt coming back. Me personally. Not now. Please, stop calling me, people.
You gotta put your phone on... D&D. Do not disturb.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, God. But speaking of untimely, like, random moments. Oh, Jesus fucking. The worst part about having a Mac is I get the random notifications appearing at the screen, and they get picked up by the roadcaster.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's terrible. It's so terrible. But... speaking of untimely stars, I thought it would be Bray Wyatt coming back. I really wanted The Fiend to come back because you thought, okay, transition from The Undertaker to The Fiend would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
But what we got was Cody fucking Rhodes. Not like there's anything wrong with Cody Rhodes' epic return in WrestleMania. It was awesome, don't get me wrong. How they got the rights to his AEW and TNA theme, I have no idea. But regardless, you know, Vincey boy, he's going to want to do anything he can to get his sausage fingers on anything he touches. Oh, God.
Well, it's going to be the beginning of the end for Cody because they're already forcing him down our throats.
They're force-feeding Cody Rhodes to us. Like an Italian grandmother force-feeding us snacks at the most random of time.
Look at last night. Like, he literally appeared in 2 seconds, like, in the first hour and the second hour. And then they just wasted the entire third hour on like crap, like what happened yesterday with Damian Priest and their whole bachelorette party with Dana Brooke and
oh god,
yes, Reggie. I don't know. They just wasted all that.
Oh god.
But going back to Cody Rhodes, actually, it was a very, very loud pop. Like, it's one of the loudest pops that I ever heard.
Yes.
Like, being there live, people were like screaming, people were crying. I'm like, really?
It's like, really? Cody, this is the worst kept secret in the history of wrestling. Like, the second like, he left AEW, you were like, all right, he's going to WWE. There's like no other reason
he doesn't go. Here's the thing about that. It just feels like these are the same people that, you know, shitting on Cody when he was in AEW. And now all of a sudden he's back in WWE and now people love him. Like, it's ridiculous how much hate AEW gets, even if they're not causing the hate directly.
Listen, I love the Rhodes family. I love Dustin Rhodes, a.k.a. Gold Dust. I love big old Papa Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Hall of Famer, the creator of NXT, rightfully so. Love me some Dusty. But fuck damn. Cody, Stardust. He will always be Stardust, and he will always be laughable to me.
He hates that, too. Like, literally, he hates
that. That's all Vince. That's the funny part. That was all Vince.
Yeah, but during like his contract negotiations, Gross told Vince in his face, look, I don't want you guys referring me back to the old Stardust gimmick. Because that's why he didn't want it. That's why he didn't want it.
Thank God.
That was bad. That was awful.
That was awful. How do you want a tag team title with Gold Dust? Oh, Jesus, fuck.
Yeah, so like, you know, the entrance took literally 5 minutes. And the entrance was actually better than the entire match, actually.
Blame you.
That's what it was. Like, seriously, the entrance was actually better than the match itself. The match wasn't really nothing special. I mean, it had its moments, yeah, but when that pop actually ruined, like, the whole entire match.
All right. To the main event we go. Oh, God. So... in quite possibly the worst winner-take-all match I've ever seen, and I've seen some shit in my day, we all knew that when Brock eventually won the WWE title the first time, we thought, all right, he's either going to lose the title to somebody, and then it's going to be a triple threat match with... probably him, Bobby Lashley, and Roman, which would have been stupid. Or it's going to be a title and title match. What do we get? The title and title match at Mania 38. Where, you guessed it, Roman wins the title, unifies the two world titles, the Universal Championship and the World Heavyweight title, and becomes the first undisputed champion since Chris Jericho? Or is this his Triple H?
No, Triple H. Jericho was the first undisputed champion in WWE history.
If you were to include the world, if you were to include 2013 and 14, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, Cena, and Brock, does that count?
Yeah, let me look it up right now, actually.
I think Brock was the last pure... I think it was the last one. Brock Lesnar was the last wrestler to hold two world titles. Yeah.
Yep. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he won it over Cena at SummerSlam. I remember now.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar in 2002, from April 2002 to September 2002. That was the last time someone held a undisputed championship.
But like two world titles is what I'm saying.
No, only one.
Only one? No, I was like, one. If like... No, I'm saying if you were to hold the two world title belts.
So in terms of like two title belts, it was actually Randy Orton in 2013.
Right.
So like, if you're talking about like
because then he belt, effectively merged the titles. Got it.
Yeah. He unified the belts.
Got it. He merged the titles then. Got it. That makes sense.
But if you're talking about one title, it's Brock Lesnar in 2002.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I was talking about the two titles, but all right. So yeah, the main event between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns was
I thought this would be a better match if it was a no holds barred match. Me personally speaking, because you just want to see those two beat the living crap out of each other.
They did, but it was actually massively disappointing.
It was so disappointing because I was expecting a longer match. I thought it'd be a no holds barred match. If it was a no holds barred match at like from the start. They announced it as a no disqualification, no holds barred, or no holds barred. I've been like, all right, good to go. We get to see who's really the better out of the two of them.
Have you seen any Brock Lesnar matches that last longer than 10 minutes? So that's the reason why. Brock is not known to having long matches.
That's a fair point, yeah.
Yeah, he's not known. He's like Goldberg, in a way.
Yeah.
So he's not really known for having like long 20-minute matches. That's why the matches were so short, because both men are not really known for that, because both of them are so dominant.
I did not know that. Good to know. But yeah, so I guess this is Vince's way of getting to letting Roman know, hey, you're our guy now. It's not like we treat you like shit for the first 5 years of your career. Oh God.
Creative did.
Oh, Jesus. And the fans. Good God. The fans were so ruthless to Roman during his Shield days. I was never the biggest Roman guy in the world. Me, personally, I loved the Tribal Chief persona for the first maybe 6 months. And then I was like, okay, they're really going to push this guy, are they?
I give you this. The moment I knew that the Tribal Chief gimmick started to get stale was his match after Edge.
The first time or the second time?
No, the one that he defeated him in Money in the Bank last
week. Oh, okay. Yeah, because Edge should have won the title then.
That was the moment I knew that this gimmick had to end quickly, because at the time, like, they didn't have anybody lined up to defeat Roman.
Me, personally, I thought it'd be Cena. I thought, okay.
I mean, it's not Cena, Cena because he dealt the title.
Okay, it was like, okay, you can't tie Ric Flair. You can't be tied with Ric Flair. One of you has to be, like, you gotta overtake Ric Flair at some point, because you have multiple dummy title runs. The last one you had was 2016 when you won over AJ. You lasted for 14 days, lost to Bray in Elimination Chamber, who then went on to lose the title at WrestleMania 33 against Randy Orton. There's another one.
That was such a weird booking, though. I don't understand him winning the title, Bray Wyatt winning the title at Elimination Chamber, only to lose it to Randy Orton. I never really understood that.
It was inevitable, because Randy won the Rumble, and then it was like, okay, who? Randy Orton's not going to face Goldberg.
No.
So
he's too good for that.
They had to continue the Wyatt family storyline. I was like, alright. Now I watched it over several times. It makes a ton of sense why Randy Orton did inevitably win the title at Mania. I didn't think he should have won it, because I thought, really? You're going to fuck this up so bad?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. But the whole unified world titles with Roman, not for it, not against it either.
So you're in the middle.
I'm dead smack in the middle at this point.
Look, I don't like the I don't love the idea. I don't hate the idea. I'm at the same boat as you, because they need to do something to generate more interest in wrestling now, because now with Cody Rhodes coming in, it's gonna be dead. There's basically here's the thing. There's only two main storylines going on in WWE right now. The whole unifying the belts Roman Reigns storyline and the Cody Rhodes storyline.
Yeah.
They're going to intersect at some point this year.
Watch either Bray. I'm telling you. I want Bray Wyatt to come back so bad.
He's not coming back.
He better come back.
Not coming back.
He probably won't.
I mean, they fired him. Like, they literally fired him due to budget cuts. I mean, I don't see him coming back. I think he's right now. He's filming a movie. He's doing like a horror film now.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, I think they wrapped up production recently.
Good for him.
So I really don't see him coming back. I would love to see him back, but I don't see him in a WWE ring. Maybe AEW, if they were very, very bold.
Make him the leader of the Dark Order. Make him the leader of the Dark Order. Please.
Yes. Yes. That would make a ton of sense. I mean, the Dark Order right now is kind of laboring because of the death of Brody Lee.
Yeah.
And that would make a ton of sense if he come in and just say, hey, I'm the new leader of the Dark Order. And they're going to make like a good stable, too.
All right. So you are a big baseball fan. You love your baseball. Love your baseball. And rightfully so, because you are a big-time Yankee fan and optimism, sort of. I would assume as a Yankee fan.
False hope. That's what it is. False hope.
Can I rant on the Yankees for a second? Because I need people to understand the origins of my fanhood. So, I grew up a Yankee fan, but I also grew up in a family of Met fans. So, the Mets, technically speaking, run in my blood. I will love the Yankees till the day I... Probably. I don't know, depending on how bad Yankees Twitter pisses me off royally. But
sound like me, WWE Twitter.
I'm very split down the middle with my baseball teams. I love the Yankees. I'm starting to love the Mets, and then there's a third team. Courtesy of a fellow Seattle fans, the Mariners. Oh God! I mean, I listened to Brock and Sock over at on a night ESPN Seattle. Every now and then, thank God for iPhones, because, and you get to listen to the radio over in Seattle, be like, oh, what's Brock and Sock up to? And yeah, they're, Kenny, I'm telling you, the Mariners, I'm telling you, the Mariners are going to make the playoffs for the first time in 21 years.
I agree. I think it's time. They got close last year, but they're a good-looking team. They just ran out of gas at the end, though.
Okay. I will dare I say it. Dare I say, who do you think the top three teams in the American League are?
Right now?
Right now. If you were to make an argument for the playoffs, who are the top three teams in the American League come playoff time?
Oof. Putting me on the spot here. So, number one, the Tampa Bay Rays. They have to be because they have been the most... the most consistent team in the last 5 years.
Gotta be, yeah.
See, number two. Ooh, number two.
I can argue with flip-flops.
Number two, I would have to say, I would not put this on the list like a few years ago, but I would have to say the Toronto Blue Jays. Because they have a young roster right now, a young lineup. Their pitching staff is just tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
I love their pitching staff so much. I love their offense so much. Like, look what happened yesterday. Just shout out the Yankees.
I'm going to make an offer to you, my friend. Well, not an offer, but a hot take. The Seattle Mariners finished with the top three record in the American League this year.
Oof.
Behind the Chicago, actually top five. I'm over drifting myself. Top five record in the American League with just under 100 wins behind the Toronto Blue Jays, the Chicago White Sox, and the Tampa Bay Rays.
That's bold, man. That's really, really bold.
Bro, it's time.
I could see that happening, but... I think they'll finish with maybe 91 wins.
I think they get 97.
Like 89, 90 wins for me. I don't think they're going to win the division now, but in a few years they will. But I don't see anybody dethroning the Astros in the division, even though the Astros are nearly, to me, they're nearly in a rebuild right now. I mean, they're still competitive, but... They got like a massive amount of free agents to come like in the next few years.
Oh yeah, I like
Bregman is leaving. Correa has already left.
Altuve's next.
Altuve might get traded. I mean, who knows?
I like to call the Houston Astros the Houston assholes.
And I did finish my third team. So you I said the Rays, the Blue Jays.
You said Toronto.
Yeah, the Rays, Blue Jays.
Chicago's up there. The White Sox.
I don't trust Chicago. I don't trust the White Sox. Because of that man, and like Tony La Russa is a good, Tony La Russa is a good manager. He's a Hall of Fame manager, but I don't know. I just don't trust him. Like, I don't know. So I'll have to go with the Rays, Blue Jays, and I hate to say this, the Astros.
All right, so you love your Yankees. I do too. I do enjoy the Mets discussion. I see it all over Twitter. Mets Twitter is the best and the worst.
You see last night's game with that implosion of the bullpen?
Oh, God. But
Mets went away into a frenzy.
So I think there's an argument for both these teams to make the playoffs. I mean, there is an argument there for both of them to make it. Particularly if you look at the Mets, they have the better chance.
I agree, because the Braves actually lost a lot of key pieces during their World Series run. Obviously, with Freddie Freeman and a lot of bullpen pieces, but I wouldn't count them out just yet. Ronald Acuña Jr. is returning at some point this year.
Yeah.
But I would dare to say the Mets win the NL East this year. But,
I can see it. I mean, they have really good pitching staff. Here's the issue with them. They rely too much, obviously, on DeGrom.
Yeah.
They rely too much on him to be like.
They still guarantee that he gets like maybe 30 to 35 starts a year now because
no. he's so poor. Because you got Scherzer in there too. You got Scherzer in there too.
And Scherzer's getting up there in age though, and his hamstring is like a little iffy.
Yeah, that's true.
So I could see the Mets, winning the division, maybe by two games. The Braves are going to be there at the end. The Nationals are going to be the Nationals.
What the hell to make of Washington?
No, they're in full rebuild right now. The Phillies, I do not know what the Phillies are doing. I don't know if they're on the cusp of the rebuild, but they want to win it all. I don't know what they're doing. Their bullpen is absolutely bad for the last 2 years. I mean, I got to see what the Phillies does. I mean, they do have a good team on paper, but it's just the bullpen, man. The bullpen has been atrocious.
And then there's the Marlins. Oh, God.
The only thing they're going to be known for this year is Jeter leaving the team. That's it.
Okay, you are a Jet fan.
Yes, I
am. You love your Jets. I got a bone to pick with you, Jet fans. I got a bone to pick with you and the entirety of Jets Twitter, plus most of you Stadium. By the way, check them out. They're great. They love us. Go love them. You Jet fans want fucking everyone, don't you?
Yes, we do.
You want everyone, don't you? Okay. Yeah. So, okay. All right. Let me see what we got here.
Look, I have suffered for the last 5-10 years.
Bro,
really, really bad football.
Okay, let me put into context of what's going on here. Kenny is a big Jet fan, loves his Jets. I do root for the Jets as my AFC team. Love them. Thank you, Mom. But holy fucking shit, this DK Metcalf trade discussion is pissing me off. Apparently,
I wonder why.
Apparently, the Seattle Seahawks desperately want to trade for I can't even speak correctly. So the Seahawks might be in a rebuild. The only reason I say might.
They traded away the best quarterback in years.
I'll get to that. But the argument that people say is that, oh, the Jets should trade for DK Metcalf. Good. Give us the equivalent of the Jamal Adams trade, plus a little more, and then you got a deal. Because that's what's going to cost
DK. How did that trade turn out, though?
We'll find out.
Well, no, with Jamal Adams tree. How did that turn out?
We're going to find out. We're going to find out. New defense, we're going to find out. Okay. Why? Like, absolutely fucking why? Why would you do this to me, Jet fans? Because, listen, I love you guys to death. I do. You piss me the fuck off sometimes. All I see from time and time and time again is, oh, we should trade for DK Metcalf and give him $30 million a year. Great. Watch your team crumble in the next 4 fucking years even further when you have to pay Zach Wilson. Watch. I'm telling you, watch. Get that grin off your face, mofo. I see you.
It's not fair because we lost out on Tyreek Hill. He wanted to go to Miami because Miami
that has made no fucking sense.
And no income tax.
That made no fucking sense to me from a team building perspective.
Yeah, but he did it for himself. He should have just gone to New York. He could have played with Zach Wilson, and we could have been the next Bengals. We could have been next year's Bengals and making the Super Bowl with this. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that he went to Miami but I understand why, because of financial decisions. They paid him like a shit ton of money. He does have to pay income tax down there. Miami is full of nice weather. The women down there is nice. I mean, it's better than coming to New York. It's better than coming to MetLife Stadium in December.
Can I make an argument now for the Seahawks to not be a rebuilding team?
Yeah, you can.
If the Seahawks were seriously rebuilding, if they were seriously rebuilding, this trade would have happened already.
Yeah, but who's throwing the ball to you?
The
who's
DK throwing the ball Metcalf to Metcalf trade would have happened already. Okay.
Drew Luck?
So look at the Rams. Here's an argument. The Rams made the playoffs multiple times with Jared fucking Goff.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Drew Luck is going to turn into Matthew fucking Stafford. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that slow the fuck down, people. If this Seattle team, like, listen, I have been a huge advocate of wanting Pete Carroll to be fired for the last 6 years.
Yeah, I remember. The last time we spoke, we had an argument on that.
And, oh my God, I wanted to slap you and then drive home. But the argument that exists is that, okay, Seattle's going to be competitive, but look at the rest of the NFC West. I don't trust San Francisco. I don't trust the Cardinals.
I don't trust the Cardinals at all. I mean, after what happened last year, the stunt they pulled in the wild card game, it's hard to trust them.
Look
I mean,
at the, Kyler that Murray, team went 9-2. And
Kyler Murray, I think he's going to leave in the next couple years.
He better. He fucking better. But yeah, it's his own damn fault. That's the problem. It's his own damn fault.
He still got the 49ers as well. They made it to the NFC Championship.
Even then, which San Francisco team are we going to get? They might trade Deebo Samuel. They might be forced to trade him.
I mean, they're going to trade Jimmy G anyway because they want Trey Lance to start.
And that's the issue that's – okay. The Rams are going to be there. We know that. Yeah, defending world champions, we know this. And from there, where do you go? Where do you go? Seriously, where do you go?
Nothing went up. You'll go up.
Exactly. You'll go up. So
yeah, you're not going to hit rock bottom twice.
All right. The argument that I have for Seattle is legitimately speaking, the defense is not going to get worse, right? They can only, if you look at the scheme that they are currently going to be playing, they went from a 4-3 defense to now a 3-4. Strictly pass rush. Which, if you have known, if you watch a sliver of Seahawk football over the last 2 fucking years, you will know that they cannot defend to save their fucking life.
Yeah. The secondary is atrocious.
Watch the following 2 players in their defense, particularly in the linebacking core. Cody Barton and Daryl Taylor. Daryl Taylor, particularly, is a natural 3-4 outside linebacker. That man is going to thrive in this defense. Clint Hurt, the defensive coordinator, is going to make this defense thrive.
And who is the senior defensive assistant?
I will make it. I will make a case for the linebacker they acquired from Denver. Shelby Miller, that's his name?
Shelby Harris is defensive end. But yeah, that's Harris, not even that.
Senior I will make a case for him, though.
He senior defensive assistant is a coach. I'm going to tell you a name that might sound familiar to you.
Ken Norton Jr.?
No. The former Bears defensive coordinator, Sean Desai, is currently the secondary coach for the Seattle Seahawks. At least I think so. He's either defensive assistant or somebody. He's going to be helping Clint Hurt run this defense. Oof. Chicago's defense was top 10 in the league last year.
Yeah. They had a good defense
last year. I'm going to read you the acquisitions that the Seahawks have made over the last 2 months. Almost 2 months. They have acquired, on defense in particular, Shelby Harris, Quentin Jefferson, Yukina Nwosu, Artie Burns, and Justin Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably five starters. Their defense as of right now is going to be Puna Ford, Shelby Harris, Quentin Jefferson, Daryl Taylor, Cody Barton, Jordan Brooks, Yukina Nwosu, who's not a bad player, Charger fans, Trey Brown, who's a baller, Justin Coleman, the nickel, Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, and Artie Burns. Everyone wants to laugh at Jamal. I don't blame them. But
thank you for the picks, Jamal Adams.
Hey, listen, I don't blame you. But part
the
of me
Seahawks defense is not going to be that bad.
They're not going to be that bad. They're not going to be top 10.
It's just they're a far cry for the Legion of Boom.
And that's what that's might be the best. That's why I'm dare I say the Russell Wilson trade might be the best thing to happen to them in a long time.
I can understand your logic, your argument there.
I have a very good argument. Do you really expect the Seahawks to pay $50 million a year to one dude?
No.
Exactly.
And he's like 33, right? He's 33.
About to be 34. Yes.
So, yeah, I get your argument now because he's going to want a shit ton of money.
Yep.
And he wants to be paid in Aaron Rodgers' money.
So. He wants to be an MVP. Yeah. I don't blame him. But, like, listen. If Pete Carroll somehow gets this team to the playoffs, he should win Coach of the Year.
I agree.
I'm not even hesitating with that.
Yeah, I agree. Because the pieces that they have, like, I don't even know who's going to be the quarterback for that team.
It's going to be Drew Locke. It's unfortunately going to be Drew Locke. They're not going to trade for Baker Mayfield. I don't think they would trade for Baker Mayfield.
I wouldn't either because he's trouble.
He is. Everyone's saying, oh, the Seahawks should trade for Baker Mayfield. He gives the best chance to win. No. Why the hell would you do that?
No.
Give Drew Locke a chance to see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
You have two running backs in particular who have the talent to rush for over 1,300 yards each.
Yeah.
And Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. You finally get to see what Rashad Penny can do. You finally get to see what a healthy Rashad Penny can do with Chris Carson. A healthy Chris Carson. You got two receivers in particularly who can catch over 1,200 yards each. DK Metcalf is unbelievable at wide receiver. I would be terrified. You got three good tight ends now in Will Disley, who can play, Noah Fant, who can play, and they got a third guy in Colby Parkinson, who's 6'8". You got a half-decent offensive line, assuming they bring back Dwayne Brown. You got Dwayne Brown, Damien Lewis, Austin Blythe, who's a damn good center, if necessary, Gabe Jackson at right guard, and they I don't know what they're going to do at right tackle, but that might end up taking a Cross with the ninth pick, the kid out of Michigan State, Mississippi State, I mean. And part of me says, all right, you got two first-round picks next year's draft. See what you can get. See how the draft class is next year. And then go from there. Or say, why the fuck not bring it on? Bring it the fuck on.
So you're actually in favor of a, how should I say this? You want them to be competitive within the next couple of years.
I dare say that looking at the NFC entirely, they could make it as a wild card. Dare I say?
Oof.
Dare I say? And I have honestly,
I can see that happening, but realistically, we got to be real here. I think they'll finish like outside of a wild card. Like,
I don't think they'll be
like
competitive.
Probably like a 10-7 record. Or something.
They're gonna want to fight people. They got yeah. some players that are gonna make them want to fight, and in particularly. After the draft, you really get to see what they can do. Because they still got a ton of cash space to work with.
Yeah.
They realistically got around $20 million in cash space to work with. There's still some free agents out there.
I gotta see what they do in the draft, though.
I gotta see what they got. I gotta see how the draft goes.
Yeah, I gotta see it.
If this draft ends up being really good and they end up getting some fighters on this team, I don't think they're winning the West. They're not winning the West. Not with how good the Rams are. Dare I say they might be second. Oof. I will make an argument.
Wow, this is actually pretty bold predictions you have here, man.
I've done
second,
before.
So they finished second behind the Rams.
Second in the West behind the Rams, but only by two games. By two or three games.
So you got the Rams finishing first, Seahawks finishing second.
San Francisco 49ers. And Arizona will flip. Either way, they'll finish third or fourth.
Wow. That's actually a very, very bold move there.
I'm fucking confident, man. I'm confident for the first... But I always do this to myself. I always, you know... Self, you know,
it's the fan in you that's telling you that. That's why.
Listen, here. Well, I force myself confidence, and then I realize, okay, I look at the roster as a whole. It's not terrible. People just want to jump to conclusion and say, oh, Russell Wilson's gone. They'll be a terrible team. They just want to jump to conclusion.
One could argue that
look at the Patriots.
The Patriots, they basically rebuilt it for 1 year.
They rebuilt it in 1 year, and you're telling me...
and they made a postseason.
You're telling me you can't rely on Drew Locke, who is Mac Jones with height.
Mm-hmm. He's a very tall QB.
You're telling me you can't rely on Drew Locke to, let's say, okay, give us 32 touchdown passes, like 12 interceptions, just feed the ball to our running backs, don't make mistakes, and we'll be fine.
That's actually pretty good. I mean,
we'll be fine.
And anything better than Geno Smith?
Oh Christ!
Yeah, don't mention that name to me.
That's the thing. Geno Smith is not even currently the backup. It's Jacob Eason.
The fact I know that is funny.
Yeah, so like you know, I feel like the Seahawks. I could see your argument of them finishing second.
They got a half decent offense, really. If they bring back Dwayne Brown. The right tackle situation has got to be resolved. I mean, it could be worse. Here's what I do know. They're looking to bring back Carlos Dunlap. Carlos Dunlap was their best pass rusher by a country mile last year.
Mm-hmm.
He had, what, 8 sacks in 6 games?
Yep.
So they bring him back. Your defensive line now consists of Carlos Dunlap, Shelby Harris, and Quentin Jefferson or Puna Ford.
It's pretty good on
paper. That's really good on paper. That's a really good D-line. Puna Ford is a good player. Really good player for his height. He's a 5'11 nose tackle.
So I just feel like, you know, the Seahawks are going to be... I think they're going to shock a lot of people. I mean, I just got to see what they do in the draft. And I just
got to turned you to the dark side, my friend.
Yeah, I just got to see what they do in the draft. And
I got to see what they do. I got to see what Marcus Cross was the name, by the way. Marcus Cross was the name I was thinking of at Mississippi State.
But one thing you got, that kind of clicked was if the Patriots have done it last year, making the playoffs despite having a rebuilding year.
No one saw the Patriots making the playoffs. Yeah. I don't think anyone saw them making the playoffs.
Why can't the Seahawks do it, you know?
Yeah, basically it was like, okay, bring it the fuck on. You want to doubt us? Let's show you guys what we can do. Bring it on.
Yeah, I mean, they got their asses handed to it by the Bills, but
still, that's Buffalo.
It showed promise, though.
That's Buffalo. That's the second best team in the AFC.
Second best team in the AFC. Who's the first?
Actually, I can make an argument. Buffalo's better than Kansas City. Top to bottom, who are you taking, Kansas City or Buffalo?
If you would ask me this like 3 months ago, I would have to say the Chiefs because of their offense. But now, when the Chiefs lost Tyreek Hill, I will have to go with Buffalo now because Buffalo, it just feels like they can't be stopped. No way can stop Josh Allen.
Yep.
I mean, Stephon Diggs is still there. If they could get like a legitimate running back, yeah, that's all systems set for this team. Like,
all they need.
They literally would win the Super Bowl next year. They just need a legitimate running back. That's it. That's all they need.
Literally all they need.
I mean, they signed Von Miller to like a deal. Like, they actually oversigned them. Like, they overpaid that man, actually. But I think I feel like the Bills are the team to beat in the AFC now.
I don't blame them. I do think Buffalo might be the team to be in the AFC. I mean, who's beating them? Outside of KC.
Oof. Then who is beating them? Man, I don't think nobody can. I mean, unless you get lucky, maybe the Bengals?
That's about it.
I mean, the Bengals, because they're the Super Bowl champs. I mean, Super Bowl... they went to the Super Bowl last year, but... maybe them? I mean, who knows?
That's about it. Alright, so... what else happened here? Before we end the show, we got one more topic. The Washington Commanders are AAA Kentucky Fried Fucked. Oh, God. Did you see this? I could really go for some KFC right now, not gonna lie.
Nah, Popeyes is better.
I don't blame you. I mean, I make pretty good fried chicken. I'll give you that.
Nice. I gotta check it out one day.
You need to get some seafood out here on the island. Do me a favor. Take a trip to Long Island. I will introduce you to some damn good seafood where I'm from.
You know what? Yeah, I want to take a bet on that. Shit, yeah, I would love to go.
Hop on the subway, get to Jamaica train station, take the LIRR out to Fuckville or wherever the hell you go. I mean, just then I'll go from there.
Yeah, definitely, man. I would definitely go, man. I love seafood, actually.
Yeah, let me know.
I really do love seafood.
Let me know. So back to Kentucky Fried Fucked. The Washington Commanders decide to pull fraud, basically. I think this is sale fraud. I think it's a sale fraud or some shit, some kind of fraud. Basically, the U.S. government found that the Washington Commanders fucked over the IRS and particularly the NFL owners by keeping 40% of ticket revenue to themselves, which is a gigantic no-no.
I did not know that. I just found this out right now.
So
Dan Snyder is a stupid. He's a stupid idiot.
So people want to talk to Dan Snyder and be like, okay, hey, you changed the name of the Redskins, and to me, there'll always be the Washington Redskins. I don't care. I'm gonna downright say I don't give a flying fuck because to me, it's not racist. Long Islanders know this story. Robert Moses was an architect who built the Robert Moses Bridge in particularly to keep public transportation off of Fire Island. He built the bridge low to keep public transportation off Fire Island here on Long Island. That is racism.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, Long Island trivia for you. Like, slavery, that is... I don't know if... mostly racism, but like, okay, you want to say white water fountain, colored water fountain, that is racism. You want to like changing the name of the Redskins to the Commanders or to the football team and then to the Commanders. I don't know. Then again, I don't give a shit. I'm just going to shut the fuck up. But regardless, the Washington Commanders decide, hey, we're going to hold back 40% ticket revenue to ourselves and away from the NFL owners. If that doesn't get Daniel Snyder out of ownership from Washington, I don't know what does.
So you want him out?
I don't know what does. I feel bad for Washington fans. In particular, they have had their name changed twice in a span of 4 years. You are expecting me to, like, how do I not get mad at Daniel Snyder? You're telling me that he leaves Bruce Allen on as president of the team, forces Scott McGlone out of the franchise because he called Scott McGlone a drunk when Scott was not. He solved his drinking issues, and you're telling me with a straight fucking face that, like, that the culture is actually damn good. Sure, my ass.
So here's a little bit of information on that. Also, during that time, I think Scott's grandmother had cancer, and yep. Snyder fired him.
Yep.
During that time, which is absolutely
terrible.
Fucked up.
Terrible.
It was a terrible time.
Terrible.
It's ridiculous.
Awful. Listen, I'm a cold-hearted bastard sometimes, but even I know that's terrible. But
yeah.
To quote the Joker, I can screw with Batman every now and then, but the IRS, hell no.
You do not mess with the IRS.
Never.
You do not mess with that government agency.
They will hunt you down.
They will hunt you down. If you owe money, you're done.
How did you not know about this story, of all people?
No, I mean, I heard about it, yeah, but I actually didn't really pay attention to it. I read, like, one tweet about it, like, Urinary Tree actually tweeted out and said, and I thought, I was like, what the hell happened to the Commanders now? Like,
front of the show,
I thought it was like, something about that. So I'm like, what the hell did Dan Snyder do now? Like, it sounds like a typical Tuesday.
40% of ticket revenue gone. Oh, for the love of God.
He's in the next few months, he's going to sell the team.
He better.
Yeah, he's literally going to sell the team. And I mean, it's going to be beneficial towards the team, because now the team is not going to be held back because of Sanders' shenanigans.
Oh, Christ, oh, fucking money.
Yeah, but how do you not know that? Like, how stupid can you be?
I don't blame you. All right. We got to get going because I'm getting 17 fucking phone calls at the same time and they keep interrupting the goddamn podcast. Kenny, thanks for doing this. I will be sure to call you again about doing this again some other time. Oh, mm-hmm. This was fun. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was actually fun, man. Thank you for the invite.
Hey, no problem, Kenny. You're more than welcome on anytime. Thank you guys for joining us for episode 138 of Time to BS. Be sure to check us out on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Time to BS Podcast. Thanks to Kenny the Sports Guy Podcast for coming on. You could check his show out. Kenny, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Kenny_Sports, Instagram, KennySportsGuy1, and future past episodes, you can find me at KennySportsGuy.com, Ken with 2 N's. You can also find me on Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other streaming services.
Hell yeah. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll see you around in the future.